comes to us from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. Let us listen to the word of God. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples, a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd were trying to touch him. The power came out from him, and he healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did, the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did, false prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So if you don't figure out what I'm saying, take Marilyn's message. It's really good. So you might remember Jeremiah. He's a prophet. He's right after the exile, which the exile was a time of great turmoil and upheaval. The Israelites were a people, and they're trying to come to terms with and move beyond this destruction that was brought by Babylon. Now, before this, Judah had persistently turned away from God. They worshipped other deities. When they turned away, they began trusting in human beings, in human power, in the self, and in these other deities. Essentially, without God, they become cursed. They become like a solitary shrub planted in the desert, a spindly, fragile plant amid a landscape of utter desolation, unrelenting thirst, isolation, lifelessness. That's what Jeremiah is telling us about this shrub planted in the desert. As people, they've fallen into this trap, trusting in themselves and their hearts, and similarly, they had grown like this shrub in the desert. They were solitary. They were fragile. They were lifeless. They were divided, defeated three times. They were thrown into exile. An admirer once asked Leonard Bernstein, he was a celebrated orchestra conductor, what was the hardest instrument to play? He replied without hesitation, second fiddle. You can always get plenty of first violinists, but to find one who plays second violin with as much enthusiasm, or second French horn, or second flute, now that's a problem. And yet, if no one plays second, we have no harmony. Now, whether we recognize it or not, we live in a time and place where nobody wants to play second fiddle. It's just not the American way. Most of us want to be in the driver's seat. We want to be in control. So we strive for this first chair. We're driven. We're competitive. We consume. We capitalize. If we fall down, we rarely tell anybody. We'd rather rely on ourselves and others. We're taught at an early age to value rugged individualism. Most folks don't want to admit their age or struggles. For if we do, we may seem weak or incapable. We rely heavily on self-help and self-care techniques. Now, the difficulty with this is if we're all competing to be first, then nobody's interested in playing second fiddle. And similarly, we won't have any harmony. When we do this, we're falling right into that trap of following our hearts. We're headed toward ruin by following our good American values. But these are the way of man. Some of them are driven by consumption, fear, power, greed, and self. There's an old Jewish story about a boy playing hide and seek with his friends. For some unknown reason, they stopped playing while he was hiding. The boy began to cry. His old grandfather came out of the house to see what was troubling him. After learning what happened, the grandfather said, "Do not weep, my child, because the boy should not come to find you. Perhaps you can learn a lesson from this disappointment. All of life is like a game between God and us. Only it is God who is weeping, for we are not playing the game fairly. God wants to be found, but many have gone in search for other things." Now, the trouble with living this way is we're easily swayed by the world to follow our heart, to trust in the self. And as a people, when we live this way, we become like a desert shrub, solitary and fragile. Become just like the Israelites before they go off to exile, before they're defeated. We trust the world, which tells us we're not pretty enough. We need to build a stronger military in order to keep us safe. We need a safer, fancier car. We compare ourselves on Facebook, wishing we went on more trips. We make standardized testing to achieve better results. We push those who are different from us down so that our kids have a better shot. We build walls in order to keep us protected. But living this way is never satisfying. Living this way means we'll never have enough, we'll never be enough. Now, I wish our world didn't operate this way. I wish when you went to work, you didn't have to compete like that. Seeming to do more and more, when it does, we tend to fall into that trap. Society becoming more reliant on the self, and sometimes less reliant on God. According to Jeremiah, when we live this way, we're like a shrub planted in an uninhabited salt land. We can see this happening here today. But as we continue in Jeremiah, we learn that God has something better planned. The Israelites at this point they're now out of exile, but it's still pretty raw. Certainly, they know the consequences of turning away from God, because they've lived it. But to do something else is still very hard. So Jeremiah shares a new way to live. "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when he comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit." It's like a lollipop. That's a lot sturdier, right? And stand up. It's the complete opposite of a shrub in the desert. And this is what God had hoped for the Israelites the entire time. Abundant community, nourishment, hope, and life. In this book, Wind and Fire, Bruce Larson shares this. A few years ago, I almost drowned in a storm at the sea in the Gulf of Mexico when I found myself swimming far from the shore and tried to reach my drifting boat. I got into this predicament through my own stupidity, something that's not unusual at all, of course. And I can remember in that water saying, "This is it." The waves were 8 feet high, the sky was dark, and winds and lightning were all around me. I was drifting out to sea. Finally, I paused. Had I continued my frantic effort to swim back to shore, I would have exhausted my strength and gone down in all sorts of situations. This is what we do. We can make matters worse by our frantic efforts to save ourselves. But God is telling us at times to stand still. We've gotten ourselves in a hopeless situation. The more we do, sometimes the worse it gets. When we look further, as we approach the gospel lesson for today, we discover Jesus is also sharing the blessings that God provides. "Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are the weeping. For they will have laughter and joy and a great reward in heaven." Jesus continued to show us how to live faced hardship and peril, but his roots ran so deep that even death on the cross didn't wilt his leaves. He rose from the dead and conquered evil and hatred. So similarly, we must plant our roots deep. Following the way of Jesus, sometimes we just have to stop swimming. We have to pray and get filled. Now this is exactly why our church has Give Of Your Heart Sundays. I invite you into following and trusting God more and more. We invite you to surround yourself in community to help your roots grow deep and deeper. These very things allow us to change from a society that's a desert shrub to one that lets go of all the world's noise of competing for first violin. Instead, we recognize that second fiddle allows us, each one of us, to be followers of the one who deserves to be first violin. And when that happens, God gives us a new heart. God transforms us, and we are like a tree planted by water, and our roots will grow deep in God's living water. We'll be surrounded by a community to lean on in tough times that will give us strength we need no matter what comes our way. Now, the American Red Cross was gathering supplies, medicine, clothing, food, and the like for suffering people in Biafra. One day, inside one of the boxes collecting the depot was a letter. It said, "We have recently been converted. Because of our conversion, we want to try to help. We won't ever need these again. Can you use them for something?" Inside the boxes were several Ku Klux Klan sheets. The Red Cross cut these sheets down to strips and eventually used to bandage the wounds of black persons in Africa. It could hardly be more dramatic than symbols of hatred to bandages of love because of the new creation. Their heart was changed and transformed. Give your whole heart to God, and you will be like a tree planted near water, the living water. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit.